Just got a quick message to share that I believe God's laid on my heart heavily. To be known and to know, or to know and be known. Either way, take your pick. You're going to get both channels of that through this today. We need to question ourselves as far as what Jesus was doing and what he was saying and where we stand in it and how much it has impacted our lives. In John chapter 10, he starts off with this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he that does not enter by the door into the sheepfold but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And he was using that analogy to describe himself and the sheepfold of the people that he was talking to. And it goes on and it continues on with us. "The same is a thief and a robber if they come in any other way but through the door. But he that enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, and to him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Now, we have a different shepherding system in Australia. We use sheepdogs, and we run around and chase them with dogs and helicopters and quad bikes and everything else they can put out on the farm and round our sheep up. And our sheep are rounded up in a way that the Middle East is totally foreign to. They know nothing about that. They don't have massive large flocks like we have in Australia to start with. The flocks are smaller. They're generally in a smaller personal farm, and they could have anything up to 100 sheep or more, just a few more. We've got thousands on some farms. I remember my uncle's farm up in out of Mildura. He had 3,000 acres and sheep running everywhere. But you go down to Gippsland and you've got smaller acreage and they can have just as many sheep or more on a smaller area because of the lushness of the ground. The feed's just so much more. But sheep over in the Middle East are called by name. They're like puppy dogs. And the shepherd will come into the sheepfold and he'll call them one by one. Call them by name. Jenny, Tobias, Naomi. He'll call them by name. And they respond when they hear his voice. Now, okay, you can turn around and go, but no, not really. The whole scenario with it is when the shepherd over there walks, he walks in front of the sheep. You'll go through places, even on the highlands of India. I don't know if you ever watched that road show where the truckers are driving through the crazy little streets around the hills of the Himalayas. And farmers are walking along and their sheep are following them. And they walk along and the sheep, they don't drive them, they don't push them, they don't do anything. They have a crook if the sheep stumbles and falls. And like in the days of Jesus, the shepherd's crook was to pull a sheep out if it got caught in a bush or caught somewhere. And the other end of it was for warding off attacking animals or prey. They were taking them for prey. But they walk ahead of them. They are known by the shepherd and they know the shepherd. I could go along to those sheep and I could call them out, listen to the shepherd. Oh, that one's Billy, that one's Joey, that one's whatever, Fluffy, Snowy. They wouldn't take any notice because they know their shepherd and they follow their shepherd. And this is where the main analogy of this Jesus was teaching on was to adapt to their cultural thinking and knowledge, not like we would think of a shepherd here. Completely different. You know, we've got our Kelpies and Border Collies and other dogs all trained up and they round the sheep up for us. And we whistle them and like my uncle's on the farm, he'd say, way back," and the dog would immediately stop and look around. There's a sheep still way back there and he'd run back and get it. And the dogs knew the commands and they would be so alert to where the sheep were and bring them in. But this is a different situation whatsoever. And so the shepherd of the sheep would come in and he would call his own sheep. Isn't that interesting? There could be different sheep in that one pen. They could be being corralled in by five or six different shepherds. And one shepherd would come along and say, "Come along, Snowy, Billy, Bluey, whatever." and his own sheep would come out and the rest of them would not respond. Amazing. That's actually how they work out there. While shepherds watch their flocks by night, all seated on the ground, the hymn goes with Christmas Carol. They were out there in the pastures guarding their sheep. You know, those sheep were not the ownership of the corporate shepherds. Each one had their own sheep out there. And they were just gathered together for safety and numbers. It's an amazing thing. And so the shepherds would call their own sheep. And so farmer Fred would say, look, I've got to get my sheep and go home now. And he would call his sheep and his sheep would follow him home. And then farmer Joe would want to go the other way and take his, he'd call his sheep. It's just an amazing situation. The sheep knew the shepherd and the shepherd knew the sheep. And he takes them out and he puts his sheep to pasture and he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger, they will not follow. I don't know if you actually see what Jesus was saying here with all of this. It's an amazing picture and scenario of how the sheep of God need to follow the shepherd that God has come, that Christ has come as a shepherd. And they don't listen to strangers. I wish that were true of all the church. I wish that were true of all Christians. I really do. It would save a lot of heartache in a lot of people when they hear voices that are not the voice of God and they think they're being led by God and they end up in all sorts of hoo-ha and strife. It's sad. They haven't learned to pick the voice of the shepherd. And you know, when the shepherd talks to us, he talks to us through the Holy Spirit. Whether we hear it audibly, very rarely, mostly it's in our heart as an impression. Other times it can be a thought. Other times it can be a circumstance and we're just compelled to move into it. But we've got to know it's God. And it will always be in line with the personality, the heart, the compassion and the love of Jesus. If it's anything more than that, if it's to glorify man or a system or something else, I would put the brakes on and go, whoa, hang on a minute. Is there something out of whack here? I don't act until I check with God and check with my spirit. Lord, is this what you're saying? I don't feel right about this. I have a check. Let the peace of God, the word says, rule in your heart. And if I haven't got God's peace in my heart, if I feel that sort of uneasiness, you know, sometimes you think, will I do this or won't I do that? And you get this gut feeling back off. I tell you what, I know the voice of the shepherd. I haven't always listened. And I've got myself into a lot of hoo-ha because of it. And I have to learn. And I've learned and I've learned. And I'm still learning. Sometimes I think, is that you, Lord? I don't want my thoughts to override his thoughts. And they can do so easily if we don't stop and listen. It's like in the psalmist was said, I looked at the storm and he wasn't there. And I looked at the wind and I looked at the rain and he wasn't there. But after the storm and after the fire and after the wind and the rain, a still small voice. You know, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not boisterous. It's why he's pictured as a dove. Doves are harmless. Doves don't come along and go, they want to steal your crop. Doves come in and they are so gentle. In fact, it's the Holy Spirit is so gentle. If we're not listening, he'll come along and he'll say, Chelsea. And Chelsea's not listening. It's okay, I'll wait. Chelsea might be busy on her iPad or doing her homework or doing something. And then, Chelsea. Hear something? No, I'm busy, you know. But he is not boisterous. He won't come along and say, Chelsea! It's not your mum or dad. He will be polite and gentle with you. And when we respond, the Holy Spirit is just so, he doesn't point the finger and say, why weren't you listening? But Jesus said, I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. I didn't come to point the finger and judge you and tell you how crazy, wrong, and bad you are. I came to give you life and life in abundance. Man, I love that. It's so good. And so the sheep knew the shepherd's voice. And we need to learn our shepherd's voice. And look, even if sometimes we can be wrong, it's better to at least have a go and say, oh, I don't think that's God, because you're getting that gut feeling. Just let God be God in so many ways. It's amazing how he wants to lead us. He never leads us into storms. He leads us by still waters. He never leads us into heartache and turmoil and stress or things that really make us anxious. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I can't glorify God when I'm all stressed and upset and anxious. I can glorify him when I'm being led by him, by still waters, with a restored soul. We need to know that's the way the voice of God works in our lives. And he said, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I've come to give, or that they might have life, and have it more abundantly. That is so amazing. I think it's in the next one. Truly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, and the sheep didn't hear them. Why didn't the sheep hear them? Because it wasn't the voice of their shepherd. It wasn't the voice. I really, really have struggled with this a lot of my life. God, I heard a voice and I thought it was you. And it turned out to be wrong, or took the wrong direction, or done something wrong, and I made a mistake in what I said. And so many times I had to come back to this. My sheep hear my voice. God, I want to be your sheep, not just by name, but in practice. I want to know that it's you working in and through my heart. And I want to be responsive to you, because you are the one that loves me, leads me, guides me, and takes me out to green pastures. Just an amazing scenario. The thieves and robbers are not heard by the sheep. I'm the door. If any man enters in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pasture. What's pasture? It's an area of feed. It's where they can be fed and feed. And they'll feed on circumstances. They'll feed on situations. And they will feed and be nourished. It's a place of nourishment. It's not just feeding on the news media or feeding on YouTube or feeding on anything else. It's an entertainment. And people they like to be amused. You know what the word muse means? To muse over something? What does it mean? It's where we get our word amusement. It's putting musing into action for our own benefit. And to muse means not think. If you look up the word muse in the dictionary, it'll tell you not to think. And so when everything else is thinking for us, we just sit there like a blank sponge sucking in all the rubbish that's coming along. We need to be proactive and knowing what's going into our heart and what we're feeding ourselves. Pasture is nourishing. The sheep go in and out and find pasture. I want to be nourished in the things of God. But the thief doesn't like that and comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, I've come they might have life and have it not just in dribs and drabs, but have it in abundance. And then he says this, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now, a good shepherd like David, he took out a lion, he took out a lamb. I don't know how many shepherds were maimed, injured, or lost their lives in protecting their flock. But this one, in providing protection for his flock, laid his life down. And that's amazing. In John 10:14, it says this, I'm the good shepherd, I know my own, and I am known by my own. Wow, isn't that incredible? So the shepherd comes into the sheepfold. Diane, Lexi, Ken, Steve, or whoever. And we would immediately know him. The sheep are known by God. I think it's amazing that God just hasn't got a church that he doesn't know each and every individual by name. He's amazing. He's such an incredible God. You can be bawling your eyes out with him and talking to him about circumstances that you need help in, and the guy next door can be doing the same thing, and his heart is not divided. He gives as much attention to everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. That's why he's omnipresent, totally all-knowing, all-powerful. He's omniscient, which means all-knowing. The word omniscient means it comes from the word science. He has greater science and all-knowing than all men have got put together. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere all at once. He's there. And so when God is there for us and he knows us, he's prepared to lead us in and out into nourishing pastures. I think that is so amazing. Do we know him? Do we hear his voice? Do we respond when he tries, when he talks to us? He says, and I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another helper, talking of the Holy Spirit coming, and he will be with you through the ages. The Spirit of truth, whom the world is not able to receive, because the world does not see him or know him, but you know him, for he abides with you and he will be in you. Man, the Spirit of truth has come. The Spirit of truth came to reveal truth to us. And who's the truth? I am the way, the truth, the Lord Jesus, and life. When the Holy Spirit teaches us and speaks to us of something, it can be judged quite easily. When you think of something, you think, is that God or not? Is it truth, number one? Does it reveal Jesus, number two? Does it lead me into nourishing pastures, number three? And you can judge things by like that. And sometimes if you want to, before you act, think. It's far better to reassess and make sure God is talking to you than it is to just take a scatterbrain thought and run and think, oh, God told me this. I had someone the other day say something about what God told them to do. I said, did you realize that wasn't God? What do you mean? I said, well, it's contrary to his word. It violates his nature. It's completely contrary to what God would do in that situation, because it's not his nature to act in that way. It was a bit of a retaliation thing. I said, so that wasn't God. And the guy was quite, oh, I didn't think about that. I said, yeah, you need to know his word. You need to know his heart. You need to know your shepherd. You need to know the God that you are talking about. So many people blame God for so many things, and God's gone, well, nothing to do with it. And we really need to understand who God is to be known, not only known of him, but know him. Have a relationship with him. You know, it's like, the crazy thing is, if I went home and said to Lexi, oh, who are you? What sort of a relationship would that be? Oh, what are you doing here? You know? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I married you. I remember now. That would be the worst of the worst of the worst. Well, that's how a lot of people are with God. No idea that God's actually interacting with them. And it has to change. We have to make sure that God's heart and God's voice are in sync with our heart and voice. How much does God know us? How well is he acquainted with you and me? How intimately entwined is he with all of our aspects and attributes and thoughts? Have a look at what the psalmist says in Psalm 139. I'm just going to read this. O Lord, you've searched me and known me. Not even a Holy Spirit era. This is back in the old covenant. But David had a heart for God, a heart after a God's own heart, the Bible even says. So he was wanting God's heart enacted in his life. You know my sitting down, or even when I'm feeling down, or when I'm down and out. And you know my rising up. You know my heights of ecstasy. You know my times of joy. You know the whole lot. And then you know what it says? You understand my thoughts afar off. And that word in the Hebrew actually is, you understand my thoughts even before I think them. You know? He's one step ahead of us. He doesn't wait to say what I'm thinking. Oh, what did Ken think just then? Nah. He goes, get ready, Holy Spirit. This guy's going off the track with his thoughts. Everything's prepared so that we can call on the name of the Lord and be saved from all of the things that would envelop us or hinder us or take us out. It's an amazing thing that God is so far ahead of us like that. He says, your word is a lamp to my feet. I've preached this before and a light to my pathway, but I'll just mention again for the sake of saying it. If I'm out in a very dark spot and it's rough terrain, I want the torch down where my next step's going. And I can see where I'm going. But when it's, well, I need to walk along the beach or go along somewhere and there's not so many obstacles in the way, it's a lamp to my pathway. I can see ahead as well as see where my next step is going to be. That's his word. That's his word. And he never says anything to us contrary to his word. His word is paramount. The word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Man, it's never going to dry. It's never going to go down. It's absolutely real and live and vital to us. And we need to have that word paramount in our lives. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted. This is scary. You are acquainted with all my ways. Can't pull any strings on God. Every aspect of everything that we are, say, do, think, aspire to, desire, he is acquainted with. Can you imagine that? You know, and he knows the desires of our hearts intimately. And if we delight ourselves in the Lord, the desires of our hearts will be given by God. He knows the desires of our hearts. And not only does he know them, but he will give us the desires of our hearts. Now, it doesn't say, oh, the desire of my heart is to get a new Jaguar or a new old Porsche, you know. No. God's not giving me that desire. That's my own selfish desire. God's desire will be implanted in my heart for me to walk in the ways of God and to do what God wants. He will give me the desires of my heart, and when I delight myself in him, the desires will come to fruition because he's put them there. You know? I've seen people, I saw a guy in Ballarat go totally bankrupt once because he went out and put himself into so much debt because he felt God was going to bless his business abundantly above all the ask or think. And he says, you know, and he had on his number plate on his car, it was some whiz-bang fancy thing, PRAYD4. So he was Maneb prayed for, and he had Jesus is Lord and God blesses my business on his trucks and on his earth-moving equipment and everything. And things went downhill. He had to sell everything. He ended up with nothing. And he's going, I don't understand that. The Lord sent me broke to teach me something. I said, how can a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and a wealth in every mine and is above and beyond all of man's finances and knows our needs and would supply our needs send you bankrupt? Oh, but I heard God tell me that. You know, no, you didn't. You got greedy. And you went out thinking God was telling you something that was your own dream. God didn't give you the desire of your heart there. That desire was your own greed and self-motivation. And it took him a long time. He hated me for a long time. But in the end, told me I was right 20-odd years later. Incredible. He said, I've had to learn a lot. He said, I wish I'd known what you knew at the time. I wouldn't have gotten into that trouble. It's just the way God works that we have to understand. God is so consistent. He's so predictable because it's in his word. He's acquainted with all our ways. There's not a word in my tongue that behold, you know it all together. Wow. Every word we can utter, God is well acquainted with and fully knows it. You have hedged me, he's guarded me from behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me, and such knowledge is just so wonderful for me. It's so high, I cannot attain it. In fact, it's beyond my comprehension, was what he was saying there. That's what God is to us. God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts aren't our thoughts. But boy, oh boy, does he ever want to impart his life, understanding and wisdom into us. We've got to give him the opportunity. We've got to know his voice. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take wings in the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the earth, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand shall hold me. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. He goes, jump down a few verses here. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Man, you know, like Jacob, when he went and tried to hide from God and he put his head on a rock and fell asleep, and all of a sudden he found he was right in the presence of angels ascending and descending. You know, if you could get spirit glasses, you know how they have these night vision glasses and you can see people in the... My son's got a night vision telescope and he's right in a position where a few thefts have happened lately. And he hears a noise and he can pull it out, and a kilometer away he can pick a car's number plate. You know? But he can see things in the natural. But imagine if we had glasses that would be like the servant of Elijah. When Elisha, and Elisha said, God, open his eyes. And his eyes were opened and he saw the spirit realm around him, and he saw the manifestation of angels and chariots and horsemen, and the whole of God's army was there at their disposal. And that wasn't just a coincidental thing. That happened to be where he hedges us around from behind. He guards us. Wow. And we're all constantly got to be aware of that. That in this room, God's presence in power is there. Are we conscious of it? You go home and God is there in power. And if there was going to be someone attack your home, Lord, open your eyes, because there's so much protection at your disposal in the name of Jesus. It's absolutely amazing. Still with him. How great are the sum of your thoughts. If I should count them, they'd be more in number than the sand. You ever tried counting sand? Pooh, no way. But his heart at the end of that psalm says this: search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. And know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's a heart of faithful repentance constantly. And I think sometimes we just get a bit blasé, but we need to say, God, I know I need you more than I've ever needed you before. I want my heart to be pure before you. And there's a lot of songs around we used to sing when I was younger, purify my heart. You know, we can walk in purity. We can walk in holiness. We can walk in uprightness. But anyone do it every day, 24/7? No, we're still frail. And that's why the Bible says there in that start of that Psalm 139, you know my failings and down sittings. You know my successes and uprisings. You know my thoughts are far off. You understand. You know, the Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are when he was a man on earth, but yet without sin. He didn't succumb to it, because he knew the power and the presence of why he was here, the anointing that was on him and the spirit that was within him. He still went and prayed for the church. I never saw him go out in John 17 and say, hey, Father, you know. But he did say, let this experience and cup pass from me, but not what I will, what you will. If there's another way, let's do it. But I'm not here to just have my own way. If not my will, your will. And Jesus then, he went on and that was his own prayer for himself. And the rest of the time he prayed for the church. Father, I pray for those you have given me, that you would keep them and preserve them, not only for them, but also for all those who would believe in me through their word. I've said enough. How well do we know him? He knows us pretty significantly. There is nothing that he would not know about any one of us. We can't hide anything from him. But he wants to be known. He wants to be known that same manner, so he can do what he wants to do in our lives. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro through the whole earth, looking for an opportunity to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. We've got a perfect heart and wanting to know God. We give him every opportunity to work on our behalf in the strongest possible manner. Man, that's good. Man, that's good. I love that. I'm going to sing that chorus just because it's up there. Knows